Shalom Rabbosai. We're going to talk about Hilchos Yichud today with a little bit of the background and primarily the Halacha L'maisa. Yichud is a kind of thing that is not just nogea for yourselves, but also as Rabbanim, you're definitely going to be involved with Yichud Shailas, without question. So I want to, a moment of background and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty. First of all, Atem tiyu li mamlechas konim v'goy kadosh. Kedusha, kadoshim tiyu, ishiyu prushim and harayas. And that what that means is that if we want to be people who are of goy kadosh or mamlechas konim, that means we have to do things that are a little bit... We have a goy kadosh if the individuals in the goy are also kadosh. So there's an importance of Hilchos Yichud is A, to instill a Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, and that's separate and aside from the fact that it also is a matzil from circumstances. If one would imagine that Hilchos Yichud would be followed, then so much Isurim, so many Isurim would be saved that could be preempted. There's a very important Gra on Avos. He says, "Hiztaka b'shlosha dvarim ve'ena taba li dei avera." He's wondering why it doesn't just say ve'ena tachote. Why does it say ve'ena tabali de avera? Says the Gra on Avos that once a person is in a nisayon, he does not have the ability to be misgaber on the Yetzihara. A person only has ability to be misgaber on not coming lide avera, to the situation where he can be chote. Once a person's in a situation where he could be chote, then the Yetzihara got him, the Yetzihara won. The goal that we have to try to get to is to avoid being in scenarios where there is the Yetzer Hara. So, for example, if you're walking on the edge of a cliff, the ikkar is not to not fall off the cliff. The ikkar is not to walk near the edge. And obviously, depending on how steep that cliff is, that's the extent to which we have to stay away from it. So, if the cliff here is the Yehar Gval Yavar, if Yichud with Arayis is Yehar Gval Yavar, so presumably the distance that we have to have should be parallel to the Isser that, God forbid, could come. There's a Chavos Chaim, these week's parashas we're talking about Yosef with Eishes Potiphar. So the Pasuk says that Einish Babayis, and Yosef comes, Lasos es Melachto. So there's a machlokas in Chazal. What does melachto mean? Melachto means his work, mamet, whatever he had to do for accounting or business purposes, or melachto with Eishes Potiphar. Chafetz Chaim asks, where do you see in the words lasos melachto that he's going to do anything with Eishes Potiphar? What? So where would you think that it's with Eishes Potiphar? It says because if it's Einish Imo Babayis, then, and we know that later on she was there, then why would he ever be there if he knows that she's there? It must be that he saw his Yichud, and that's why it's Muchach that he went to be with her, because otherwise, why would there ever be Yichud? Okay, so let's start talking about the halachas of Yichud. First of all, Yichud has nothing to do with a closed room, has nothing to do with a closed house. Yichud is any place of seclusion, including forests, fields, streets. That's why Tomer Dvora, you've heard of Tomer Dvora. Dvora was what was Shofetes Tachas HaTomer. Why? Why under a palm tree? So the poskim say, v'dafka under a palm tree, because if you ever saw a palm tree, the leaves, the branches of the palm tree start higher up, and she, as a female, didn't want to get into a situation of Yichud, so she did it in a place that it wouldn't be visible. It wouldn't be covered over, but it was a tomer bedavka. Let me go for a few minutes, and then we'll take some questions afterwards. Let's just give some history. Is it also deraisa? Is it also derabanan? Is it an independent iser? Is it a geder? We'll talk about all those things. So there are three stages in the development of the iser of yichud. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyah bedvaro. Fundamentally, yichud is also midaraisa. The pasuk, it's not an lo sase, it's an asay. Midaraisa. The pasuk says, "Ki yisischa achicha." Talking about, there's a very long discussion how we see it in this pasuk. I'll tell you the bottom line. The Torah tells us that people will try to convince you to do avodah zara, and how terrible that is. And the pasuk is assuming that you will be in secret place talking to somebody who's trying to convince you in a secret place to do avodah zarah. And it says, who's going to be in that secret place telling you to do that avodah zarah? Your brother, or your sister, or your mother. And from there we deduce that anyone else should not be in a secret place with you. Any other arayos should not be in a secret place with you, without getting into the details. That is the source where we learn that all arayos are aser nichud mida araysa. So arayos are mother, daughter, sister, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, all the arayos are aser nichud araysa. Later on, there is a story in Shmuel Beis where David's sons Amnon loved his half-sister, or no, not his half-sister, his stepsister Tamar, and Amnon was very troubled by the fact that he wanted Tamar. So one of his friends suggested that he should pretend that he's sick, and his stepsister will come take care of her. And then while she comes in to serve him, he should take advantage of her and he'll be able to rape her. And that's exactly what happened to Tamar. Tamar says, please with him, why doing this be'isr? You could just get married, you could do it be'heter. And she gets raped by her stepbrother in the house of Beis David. On that, the Gemara says, Lifnos malachim kach, lifnos hadyotos alachas kama v'kama, im letznuos kach, leprutzos alachas kama v'kama. And therefore, ba'osa shah gozu al ha'yichud, asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Gozu al ha'yichud? Yichud is asu daraisa. We just said, it's asu from the pasuk. So the Gemara answers, gozu al yichud de penuya. At that time, Tamar was, we'll talk about Anita in a minute, let's assume she was a penuya, she was a tahora. She wasn't an erva, she was a penuya. So for a penuya tahora, a Jewish penuya tahora, there is no issur d'oraisa to have yichud with. And therefore, he would have had been permitted to have yichud with her, just not to, he just had no right to rape her, but the yichud was permitted. After that moment, Gazru based Amalchus, I'm sorry, based in Avdavan HaMelech, that yichud even of a penuya tahora is going to be asur midrabbanan. Hold on 1 second. There's a third stage. Then the Beis Din of Hillel and Shammai, we already took care of Arayas. Penuya Tahora is now also us. So what else is left? Penuya of a Goya. That was a Takana of the Beis Din of Shammai and Hillel. Tamid Shammai and Hillel, Gozra al Yichud Shal Goya. Those are the three stages. Question? Okay. There's presumably a little bit more, attention that. Okay. Fine. So let's talk about if yichud. It's true. It is what it is. Let's talk about is yichud in iser be'etzim or is it a geder? So we have a number of places in Chumash where we have gedarim that are themselves a gedim in haTorah. One example that my other shir we just discussed is Mishras and Chometz Anavim Atu Anazir drinking wine. We have Losikom, Lositor could be a Geder Min HaTorah Atu Losikom. We have Baal Yiraya might be a Geder to Achilas Chometz. We have Bishul Basa B'Cholav could be a Geder to Achilas Basa B'Cholav. The concept of Geder Min HaTorah we are familiar with. But it doesn't just mean that a lot of people always say, I'll do this, but it's not going to bring to that. It is not pshat that yichud is aser because it will bring to something. Yichud is clearly aser, essentially, is it clearly aser be'etzem. It's true, it's only an iser in a situation where something can happen. And therefore, perhaps in a case where that thing can't happen, we'll talk about an example in 5 minutes, then there won't be yichud, but the situation will be, whenever there's a situation, something can happen, even if, of course, the people are clearly don't plan on it happening. There will be an issur d'oraisa of yichud. Now, that issur d'oraisa is limited, and it's very important to know what's d'oraisa and what's d'rabbanan, because when we're going to look at machlokuses and we're going to have to be mitzarif different shitas, it's going to come into play very significantly. Rule number one: yichud d'oraisa is only when there is one woman and one man present. Whenever there is more than one man and one woman present, it cannot be yichud d'oraisa. And that's going to be important, as we'll see later. Let's talk about the most common shaila, and that is especially for people who are dating, and that is a single woman who is a nida. So if she's a penuya tahora, we saw that that's going to be asur midrabanan. But if she's a penuya nida, then is that going to be like one of the arayas, which is asur daraisa, or is it only drabanan because nida is different? What is nida? So let's just present two sides of the coin. This is a gigantic machlokas rishonim, whether nida is considered an erva or not. On one side of the coin, it's listed in the list of the arayas in the psukim in Vayikra. Also, the chiv is kares, just like the rest of the arayas. So that would indicate that nida would be an erva. The other side of the coin, the rishonim say that maybe nida is not an erva because, and if it's not an erva, that's significant to us, because if it's not an erva, that means it's not going to be yichud midaraisa, because yichud daraisa is only an ervas. So if we say that, what do you mean? Ervas don't have tefisas kiddushin. Anida does have tefisas kiddushin. The vlad of all the ervas is a mamzer. The vlad of anida is a little bit of pagam that Shulchan Aruch talks about, nothing significant. And Moshe says you don't have to worry about that. So there's no vlad mamzer by anida, so therefore it's not an erva. So big machlokas Rishonim is the nida an erva, is it not an erva? Nafkamina is nida asa daraisa or not? The maskan of all the poskim is that nida is an erva, and therefore yichud with a single girl on a date would be an iser mida araisa if there is nobody else present. Let's talk about the first topic that I'd like to talk about is the ages where we apply the halachas of nida. So here, everything is totally on being roi lebia. Meaning a boy, once he's 9 years old, is roi lebia, he could physically have a bia. That will make it usur for him to have yichud, but with a woman who's bas mitzvah. You'll see where we're going to go in a minute. The isur is not on the boy. He's not mitzvah and mitzvah. The isur would be on the bas mitzvah, or anyone older than that, to be with that boy. Similarly, a girl is only ru'uya lebia once she's 3, and that isur would be only with a boy who is above bar mitzvah. If you have a situation where you have a katan with a ketana, a 12-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl, there's no isur yichud. Another scenario, if you have, and we're going to come up with some more significant things, if you have, let's say, there's a high school girl in town, and she wants to babysit the kid down the block. So if the kid is below 9, it's mutter for her. If the kid is 9 years old, it's usur for her to babysit. If you want to babysit your niece, if your niece is 2 years old, it's mutter. If your niece is 4 years old, you're not allowed to babysit your niece.
Are we going with niece and uncle as usur? I mean, Rav Moshe has a special heter for a, no? I think
he's
an aunt. I mean,
you
get only aunt, not uncle.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. So if there is, you know, a situation where you do have a boy and you have to find a babysitter, and the only babysitters are girls, perhaps you could find a fourth grade girl who's only 11, you know, who's, 11 years old, if you trust her. If you trust her, then you'd be able to, but you're not going to trust, your 11-year-old girl would be able to babysit your 9-year-old boy. The obvious solution, I don't know how much that's going to help, but other than that, you're going to be, but if you find a, but if you have a 12-year-old, I don't know if you can trust a 12-year-old boy for anything either, but if you have a 12-year-old boy, he could also babysit your 5-year-old daughter or your 7-year-old daughter, because they're both ketanim, so they're not in the parsha, and therefore Rabbi Yashav Paskin, that this, if both are ketanim, it will be permitted, even though both are older than Roi Lebia, but it is mutu lechatchila, says Rabbi Yashiv. Yeah.
I was going to say, why is that? Because there's a
potential bias,
though.
You're asking why is there an iser of chinuch?
Or meaning the whole term is maybe the bias,
right, but it's an iser, it's also for the bar mitzvah to be with somebody who's Roi Lebia.
Right, we should also write so chinuch, we should say also.
So I'm not sure why he holds that there's no iser of chinuch here. Could be that in this kind of thing, I don't know. This is going to be important also with what we just said. Now we're going to apply it to some very important kulas. We just said that a 12-year-old boy is not, doesn't have any chiv. The chiv is on the person who's the bar mitzvah. So if you have a 12-year-old boy, you want to have a babysitter for him, or an 11-year-old boy, a 10-year-old boy, you could have a non-Jewish woman babysit for him. Why? Because the isser is only on who? On the person who's bar bas mitzvah. The non-Jewish woman is not a bas mitzvah, in the most literal sense. She's not mechuyev in the isser of yichud. And therefore, a non-Jewish woman can have yichud with a 12-year-old boy. And I don't think this is a smart thing to do, but if you have a male babysitter, or whatever the situation could be, who's, let's say, a 4-year-old man with a girl who's 11 years old, she is allowed to be the yichud with a 40-year-old man. Why? Because the isser of yichud is not on him, he's a guy. And in terms of her, she's not a bas mitzvah, she's not in the parasha of being asur to be, have yichud. Again, it's asur for her to be with yichud with a bar mitzvah, but the isser of yichud is only on the Jewish person who's the bar mitzvah, who is of tzivui status. And therefore, if you have a 40-year-old Gentile man, he can babysit an 11-year-old girl. Again, that's not the smart thing to do, but that would be mutter. Now we get into something very important. What about if you have an elderly man who is impotent? He's not allowed to... We said that the whole problem with yichud is that it can lead to something. Well, he's impotent, it can't lead to anything. So could he have a female nurse? Could he have a female home health aide? Could he have one of those visiting nurse, that visiting nurses association come to give him his shot in his house for his diabetes? Of course, if he would be able to have bia, then it would be asur, as we saw Hillel and Shammai, the Talmidei Hillel and Shammai, where it goes even on yichud with a goya. But here he's impotent. So Moshe Feinstein says that it depends as follows. If he knows he's impotent, but it's not just that he knows, he's clinically diagnosed as having whatever disease or whatever medical diagnosis that he has, that he is diagnosed clinically as being impotent, then there's no iser yichud for that person. If the doctors have said that he can't have bia physically, then there is no iser of yichud. That is not a situation where anything could happen. And therefore, yichud will not be asur, and he could have a female home health aide. However, if he knows that he's impotent, he's not with his wife anymore because he can't be with his wife anymore, there's nothing to happen, but he doesn't have any clinical diagnosis, then Rav Moshe Feinstein says that we will not allow, since he's lacking the clinical diagnosis, the doctors haven't declared that he's impotent, he just knows that he's not with his wife because it doesn't work. So if it's yichud d'oraisa, we won't let him do that because he hasn't been clinically diagnosed as being impotent. But if it's only yichud d'rabbanan, so if he knows he can't have bia anyway, he's just not able to, he knows it. And for that reason, he hasn't been with his wife for a long time. And it's only an issur d'rabbanan of yichud. For example, she's a penuya tahora. We don't have penuya tahoras so much nowadays. It's with a non-Jewish woman, that happens very much. Let's say a Filipino woman who's going to be a home health aide. That's only also d'rabbanan because she's not Jewish. That would be permitted if he knows that he's impotent. If he's clinically diagnosed that he's impotent, then it will be mutter even with a woman who's a nida or a Jewish woman who's an erevitim, even that would be mutter.
Is maninu that there's a pharmaceutical tikkun for that particular dysfunction? Does that change the halacha at all?
I don't know. I think it would change the halacha. I don't know. I guess if it's something that Viagra or the like would fix, then I guess we would be equally concerned.
Like, that doesn't matter that there doesn't happen to be any in the house. He's never ordered any, but just the fact of the matter is...
I hear. I don't know.
Were he to take it, he wouldn't hear it.
It depends. Again, if it's some impotence is non-curable. If it's something that would be substitute, that would be helped pharmaceutically, that might bring the issue. That might make it more complicated. That's a good point. Thank you. Okay, so that's the end of talking about any question about ages. Fine. Next point. What is the shear for how long one has to be with a woman to constitute something being asur for yichud? So what we have to know is that the halachas of yichud don't really appear anywhere in Torah, because it's just learned from this very roundabout way of when somebody's trying to be mesis you to do avodah zarah, you're in secret with your brother, with your sister who's trying to convince you to do avodah zarah. we don't have any parameters. Where do we, yes, have parameters? By sota. By sota, a person becomes a sota after her husband gives her a kinui, a warning, to stay away from so-and-so, and she has a stira, she goes into yichud with that so-and-so. That we have a whole mesechta about. And therefore, from all those halachas of sota, the stirui, the second step of the sota process, is how we know all of hilchas yichud. So there, the Gemara says mefurish, that the minimum time to define something as a stira, as her being alone with that guy who she was warned about, is kedei litzlos beitza ulegom'a. To roast an egg and swallow it, the Gemara says that that's the same amount of time as it takes to drink a ravius. Litzlos beitza means the time that it takes to drink a ravius, ulegom'a. So, how much does that, how long does that take? So, there's a book that I took this only for show and tell. This is the Bible. The Bible in Hilchas Yichud is this book. It's called the Dvar Halacha. The Dvar Halacha was written by somebody from Bnei Brak, I guess in the 60s, I assume, who was very mekuruv to the Chazon Ish. Why is it important? It's important because he brings down all the psachim of the Chazon Ish about Yichud, and the Sefer is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly in-depth and incredibly reliable, and more than anything else is that he has a lot of kulas from the Chazon Ish. And those of you who know that the Chazon Ish doesn't so often give you kulas, as I think Rabbi Willig once pointed out, if the Chazon Ish gives you a kula, you could take it. So there are going to be very significant kulas that the Chazon Ish has in Hilchas Yichud, as opposed to other areas of Halacha, and they're all recorded in there, and this is the Bible. Any Sefer that's been put out in the last 50 years, 40 years, I don't know when it came out, is based on, or at least has used as a primary source, the Dvar Halacha. So Dvar Halacha said he experimented with his shir from the Gemara in Sota Daftal that we just mentioned, of Litzlos Beitza Ulegoma, and he came out with a shir of 35 seconds. That means if you're in a place for 35 seconds, that would be Yichud, you can't get into such a place. So if you have a... When I went on my very first date in my life, went to Toronto, and what's there to do if you go to visit Toronto? The CN Tower. The CN Tower is 100 and something or other stories high. So my very first date, I managed to have this Shaila, and we were there at night, and we got to the CN Tower, and we realized there were no other tourists around, because I came home for Meretz Yisrael, for Ben Azman and Pesach, so it's probably like Beis Nissan. And Beis Nissan is not a busy tourist season in Toronto. We got to the CN Tower to the elevator, and we looked around, and there were no one else. We thought it was just us. So we decided to do something else. Why? Because the ride from bottom floor to the top floor is going to be more than 35 seconds. If it would have been a 20-second ride, and there are no floors in between to stop either. So if it would be a 20-second ride, it would be mutar lechatchila. There's no shir of kedei litzlos beitza ulegoma. But the 35 seconds, give me 1 minute, please. 35 seconds is very machmir. Most poskim don't assume it's that short. Rabbi Yashiv says that under a minute is certainly mutar, and chances are a minute and a half, you could b'shas hadchak, you could make a, even until a minute and a half. Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, has a very important kula here. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chelek Dalid, Simon Samachay, says, wait a second. The shiurim that we got from the Gemara in Sota, Kedei Litzlos Beitza Ulegoma, is just for the Maisa Isser itself. But in order for something to actually happen, it doesn't just have to have the Maisa. The people who have both parties also have to get undressed, have the Maisa, and then get dressed again afterwards. And if they're not good friends, if they don't know each other very, very well, then there also is going to be a time that he's going to have to be mafata to her, to seduce her to do it with him. So therefore, if you take all that time, so if the people who know each other very well and they're very close one to another, so you at least have to add a minute for the Maisa, plus the few minutes to get undressed and get dressed again, that's going to give you a few minutes. And if they don't know each other well, then you have more than that. You have the time of P2 plus the amount of time that takes to get undressed and the Maisa and dressed. It ends up, according to Moshe, the shir is a lot longer. 1 minute, please. After I finish this section, I'll take questions. But we have to keep in mind this concept of the shir of zman that it takes to violate Nisa Yichud does not mean that you're allowed to be with a woman for shorter than that time span. It means if there's a situation where this situation will only exist for less than this shir, then you could be in that situation. But if this situation cannot exist for longer, then it will be mutter. I'll give you the easiest example is the elevator. If you're in an elevator, that the elevator cannot be closed for more than 35 seconds, then it's going to be mutter. Well, let's say a minute. Let's take a minute. Then it's going to be mutter. If it will be less than a minute, so it will be mutter. If it takes more than a minute, then it's going to be usser. I once came home to my house, and our baby was sitting there with my baby daughter. Let's assume just me and the babysitter. So I walk into my house. I didn't even know she was home. I walk into the dining room, and she's somewhere in the back of the house doing something in a different room. I close the door behind me. At that moment, when I close the door, what happened? I'm going to open. Do I have 30 seconds in which I could open the door? No. I have to open the door immediately. Why? Because right now I'm in a situation that, at status quo, this situation will continue for a long period of time. And therefore, even a split second in such a situation is usur. Similarly, and this has happened to me, I'm working in my bedroom, I'm typing something in my bedroom. And I hear the front door in the middle of the day, I'm home for lunch in my bedroom typing, and I hear the babysitter come into the house, she doesn't even know I'm home, and she locks the door behind her. I can't wait 35 seconds, same situation, I can't wait 35 seconds or a minute to unlock the door. I have to run to the front door and unlock it. Why? Because the situation as is going to be longer than a minute. The only time you have this heter of the shear is where the situation as is cannot have that length of duration. Meaning, it's an elevator ride that will be for less than the minute, or less than the 35 seconds. That's the only time that we have the heter. Yeah, question.
I was wondering, I'm in somewhere where it's great. We're not complaining about anything about Yichud, the things about Fata and all that, as opposed to things about rape.
It's an excellent question. I think the answer to your question is that one theme that you see in Hilchas Yichud is that when it comes to Jews, we're not choshesh for onas. You're right. There was a case that it happened. I'm not saying that Jews never rape. I'm saying that in terms of Hilchas Yichud, the chshash is never, ever that a man will rape a woman. The chshash is that the man will convince her. With goyim, then there's machlokas. If we are choshesh for onas, a goy being ma'anis a woman, that's a machlokas. But with a Jewish man, the concern is never onus; it's only pitui.
I'm under the impression most of us are matter elevator because, I mean, it stops. You never know.
We didn't get into
stops.
That. Okay. We didn't get to that. That's correct. Man, that's a separate heter.
Very long elevators.
What? So if you have the CN Tower elevator, which is the CN Tower is not a building. The CN Tower is an observatory, 120 floors up, and an entrance, 120 floors down. There's no. It's not a building. It's like the Eiffel Tower, sort of. Mm-hmm. So you go from 0 to 120 with nothing in between. If there will be a place like you're in the Empire State Building, where even though the elevator could take a long time, but it could open at any point, so that's going to be a different heter of Pesach Pasuach that we'll talk about at the end of this year.
Why, according to Moshe's wife, when they put their clothes back on, why is that always?
The answer is because we're only concerned that people do things when they don't. People are only going to do things if they don't think they're going to get caught. So if I have enough time to get undressed and do a maisa, and then somebody will walk in and see me undressed, so I'm just not going to do that maisa.
In terms of babysitting, when do we assume if ever the fact that your kids are there will remove the?
Okay, I doubt we'll have enough time to talk about that. But if we do get there, the age of Shomrim is a complicated question. The age is that they know, they're aware enough to know that something's weird, something's inappropriate, but they have no yetzahara for it. So the ages are in the range of 5 to 9. Depends on boys, depends on girls, machlok saposkim. If we have enough time, we'll get to it at the very end of the shiur. I doubt we'll have enough time. Okay. In terms of another important area that we have to just clarify for a general klal for Hilchas Yichud, tangentially to what you just mentioned, Ephraim, is that if you're in a situation right now where there is no Yichud, we are never concerned that you're going to go, this should be usur, because maybe you'll go somewhere where it will become Yichud. I'll tell you what I mean. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chumrah that no one really holds like. He holds that if you can't be in a car with a girl. Why? Because you could drive somewhere where it will be yichud. So none of the poskim follow that, for the very simple reason that, in general, by hilchos yichud, we always assume that if where you are it's okay, then there's nothing wrong. If where you are is not okay, then you can't be there. But if where you are is okay, then we're not worried you're going to, for example, we'll talk later if the door is unlocked, we're not worried if you're in a room with a girl that maybe you'll lock the door and it'll be yichud. No. If you're in an unlocked room, that's going to be mutter. Okay. Who is aser, who's mutter in terms of having yichud with? So we mentioned your darayos are aser daraisa. So your mother is an erva. Does that mean you can't be have yichud with your mother? My daughter is an erva to me, so that means I can't be at home, I can't babysit my... I'm not supposed to say babysit my daughter. My mother always reminds me, Uri, you're not babysitting your daughter. She's your daughter. So I can't be at home with my daughter, so of course, here the poskim say all the generations, up and down, are all mutter. So my daughter, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, all those are mutter nichud for me. Similarly, a woman, her father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, son, grandson, great-grandson, all those are mutter to her. As long as it's one straight line, straight up and down. Those are all going to be mutter. Of course, sister and a brother are mutter, which we'll talk about in a moment. Of course, a husband is mutter, even when she's an Ida, like we know, Sugaba Shoshanim. Now, in terms of a sister, this is an interesting question. People just assume that you're allowed to have yichud with your sister. It is true, sort of. The Gemara says that a person is not allowed to live bekvius with his sister. So we don't know what the word bekvius means. So a lot of people assume that it means for 30 days. So this does actually happen in Washington Heights more than in other places, especially with people from out of town. Let's say you're here in Smicha and you have an apartment. And you're from LA, you're from Cleveland, you're from Toronto, you're from Chicago. And your sister is moving... She has to move somewhere to find her chassan, and she's not sure exactly where she's going to live. So she'll just move into your apartment until she gets into graduate school, until she finds her own apartment, until she does whatever else she does. So there, if she's going to be in your apartment, again, assume it's just you and your sister, that's mutter until 30 days. But longer than 30 days, that is going to be aser. Rabbi Sabalevsky likes to say, he usually says it the other way, let's say... Usually works the other way, you'll see why. Let's say there's a young lady who has an apartment in Washington Heights, and her brother's coming in from Chicago or Cleveland or L.A., and he doesn't really know what he wants to do with himself. Maybe he'll just sit and learn a little bit for a few months. Maybe he'll go to graduate school. Maybe he'll look for a job. He doesn't really know what he wants to do. Rabbi Soloski says, there, from the moment he moves in, that's already kavua. Because he doesn't know what's happening. It's not like he's here for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 27 days. He's here until who knows what. So already from then, the very, very beginning, there would be an iser of yichud between the brother and the sister, even though it's not 30 days yet, because he just has no idea what he's doing. This just because we have to say it. Of course, it's obvious in Dover Pasha, but it's just important to say, even if somebody's engaged and they're going to be married, of course, yichud is still aser. It's aser daraisa, and bracha for people who are careful in all these halachas. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yudam and Beis says kol kala shetznua beveis chamiha zocha v'yotza mimena melachim unavim. It's not just a question of people saying to themselves, you know, it's my life and I could do with what I want. It's a responsibility for a person to realize that their children are going to be totally on the level of kedusha that they themselves live by. So it's not their own issue, it's an issue for all of their future doros. Yeah.
It really depends on how you define the iser of yichud with your sister over 30 days. Is it iser that you might come to actual erva, or is it iser that's more of like a marasa hayim iser?
So you're saying if it would be more of a marasa hayim kind of thing,
the point is that
then
people see you're there for a long time, so they maybe have crazy ideas, but... You know, like,
so it could also be if somebody asks you, like, what's your brother doing? Like, he has no idea what he's doing. That could also be. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
I'm just curious, like, if it's talking about kavias, and, like, if someone lives at home
when I have a sister or two sisters, whatever, parents go on vacation for a month.
Excellent question. If you live at home, what happens if you didn't go to move into your sister's apartment, she didn't come to your apartment, you're living at home with your parents. It just happens to be your parents go away for the summer. And you have graduate school, and your sister has work or graduate school, and you're home. Your parents are in the bungalow colony with the little kids or something. That's a very important question. And the poskim to discuss, I don't remember offhand how they resolve that situation, where you didn't move in with her, but your parents moved out. I don't remember how the poskim deal with that. Yeah.
Well, let's say you're living with your sister, and after 28, 29 days, you realize that you still haven't moved anywhere.
Could you move out for a day and then move back? I don't know, but I doubt it. I haven't seen it discussed, but I doubt it. It doesn't sound like that would be a... What's the shear? What's the cutoff? Like, I'll move out for a week. It's like a visa. You have to be out of the country after a certain amount of days out of the country so that I could, before I come back, and I don't know. Okay. One important thing that we have to know in terms of, again, we're trying to talk about who's usher in these halachas, is when we talk about a guy, which of course a man is not allowed to be with a non-Jewish woman, means Rabbanan, that's usher Rabbanan. When we say, we all know that if there's a husband and wife, that's a matzil. We're not going to talk about matzilim and shomrim because we probably won't have time, but a husband and wife is a matzil. So if there's a husband and wife, then anyone could be with them. One woman, one man. Excuse me. However, if there's a Gentile husband and wife, it is still prohibited for a woman to be in the room with them. Why? Because by a Jewish husband and wife, we assume there's going to be a svara of ishtomish samarto. A Jewish man tries to do anything, you know, tries to overstep his bounds, so a Jewish wife will smack him up, and every Jewish man is terrified of his wife. Masha Ein Kein, the poskim say that if it's a non-Jewish man, that person might not be concerned with his wife's presence, and therefore it will be usher for a Jewish woman to be present even with a couple. Even though there's a husband-wife team, non-Jewish, it will be usher. Because as we see from Bill Clinton and many other personalities, they don't always mind what their spouses do. Okay, just important to know.
What about for a man?
For a man to be with a... So that's going to come into a discussion we'll have in about 3 minutes. Either you have two men and one woman, that already might have other heterim anyway. So we'll hold for that. If I had to tell you all of Hilchos Yichud in one line, I can. I really can. I give you my word. All of Hilchos Yichud works like this. Yichud is always usser, unless you have one of four heterim. All of Hilchos Yichud will be boiled down to this. Yichud is always usser unless you have either Pesach Pasuch L'Rishis Arabim, Baila Bi'ir, and its inverse, which is Ishto Mishamarto. Third, unless it's a shomer. And fourth, unless there are additional people around, so it's not yichud. That one sentence will guide us for the next hour or so, next 45 minutes, and we'll go through the different kulas. I basically said is that yichud is an isser, and all of Hilchas Yichud are what are the details of the heterim of that isser of yichud. So first of all, how many people do we have to constitute yichud? So for now, how many people here are Sephardim? Okay, I'm not going to be talking to you for the next 4 minutes. I'm only talking to Ashkenazim, and it's very important because it's a very important kula, and it's a kula that only Ashkenazim have and not Sephardim. So it's not my kula, it's a kula of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is only applied to us, not to you. So we'll see what I mean. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin Daf Pei Amid Beis, if I'm not mistaken, it's the second to last Mishnah in the Masechta of Kiddushin. Isha Achas Misyachedes Im Shnei Anashim. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about one woman by herself. If you have one woman, let's say you get a call from a woman, and she wants to know the parameters of Yichud, this is the next few minutes of what you're going to have to relate to her. So she's allowed to be with two men. And why is she allowed to be with two men? So Rashi says, because one man will be embarrassed from doing anything if there's another man present. However, the Gemara there where it says that two men make it mutter, is not considered yichud, there are limitations. There are two limitations. First of all, they have to be ksherim. if those two men are prutzim, those two men are prutzim, if both of them are prutzim, then afilu asara will not help. The Yerushalmi says afilu mea will not help. So if you have 100 men, says the Yerushalmi, and one woman, but the men are prutzim, then that is considered yichud. Now, in terms of what the definition of a paritz is, two things. We have to figure out the halachas of a Jew and a guy. A guy is halachically considered, has a din of a paritz. Whether they're upstanding citizens, non-upstanding citizens, every guy is dino kip paritz. What about a Jew? A Jew, well, what's a paritz? What's not a paritz? Who's somebody who's considered low class? Who's a Jew? Who's an upstanding citizen? Well, the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ran, and the Ramah for us Ashkenazim say that any religious Jew is a kosher. Unless we know that he did something wrong, he's been involved with bad stuff, then he's a paritz. But a Stam Jew is a kosher. That's the first limitation of this heter of two men. So if you have two Stam Jews, two from Jews, and one woman, that is mutter, that's not yichud. So therefore, if you have a male roommate, the two of you can have a woman in the house. The cleaning lady could come into the house and you could lock the front door, and that is mutter lechatchila for all of you Ashkenazim. Clear? Similarly, if there are two men, you and your roommate, and one of you is going out with a young lady and she comes into your house, you could lock the front door behind you, that is mutter lechatchila. Question?
Even if they're in different rooms?
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct.
And both, we're saying even if one is a parutz or both are prutzim?
Excellent point. The halacha here is going to be usher only if both are prutzim. If one of them is kasher, that's going to save you. Do we say ishto mishtamarto by a Jew who's parutz? I have to see when we get there. I think we'll get there. I don't remember. Yeah.
Your roommate's asleep.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. The next limitation that the Gemara gives to this heter of two men with one woman, besides that they have to be ksherim, is that it's only when it's ba'ir. But ba'derech, two men will not be enough, because we're worried that when you're walking along the way, somebody's going to have to take a bathroom stop along the way, and he'll go to relieve himself on the side of the road, and you'll be left with one man with one woman, and that's, of course, yichud d'oraisa. So therefore, whenever you're ba'derech, the Gemara says, this is the Gemara, not the Rishon, the Gemara says, whenever you're ba'derech, you're going to need to add an additional man to the mix. So if you're driving somewhere along out of the city, in order for it to be permitted to be in that car, those two men with that one woman, there's going to have to be a third man in the car. So if one has to leave to go to the bathroom on the side of the road, you'll be left with two men and one woman, which is still mutter. So we just talked about having the female who's going out with the guy in his apartment. Later we'll talk about the fellow dropping off his date in her apartment. That will be a little bit later. So, if we want to apply this to office settings, obviously, we could solve every yichud shaila if we just have two from Jews present. If there are two from Jews, then both of them are assumed to be ksherim, according to Ashkenazim. And therefore, a woman could be, so if there's a woman who's a secretary or a woman who's a CEO and her two male secretaries are there, that will be mutter lechatchila. Or if there's a doctor, a male doctor, and he has two from nurses, I take that back. If there's a partnership of two doctors and they have a female nurse or a female secretary, the front door could be locked and those three people could be in their office by themselves. Now let's get into how to define a paritz. What's the definition of a paritz? And this is a sensitive topic. And
just before we get to that, yeah. Are there any places in Elmer that don't define Goyim as prutzim? I mean, as long as we it's almost like it kind of flows from the idea that if you hold it, the Tas Akum Nizanaz, that may be different because they go Gudurim Gidre Harai, you know? The Meiri, why would it not apply to this also?
I don't think anyone uses the Meiri La Halacha in
the Halacha, I mean, Machai Bitum and Master Tas Akum, I think they do.
Okay. Yeah, I think it stays there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to be careful how we speak. So the definition of a paritz, we said the halachic status of the din of a guy that's considered objective in halacha, in this sugya. The Shas Tshuva Mahari Mintz says the following, and it's not clear what he says. This is what he says. He says, somebody who's been poritz b'makom acher has a din of a poritz. Presumably that means there was some time that he was Porot in Hilchas Arayas, whatever being Porot in Hilchas Arayas was. So if he is a history of being Porot in Hilchas Arayas, then he's considered Porot and you can't be with him and another man. Meaning a woman can't be with this guy who's been Porot, Mu'akam Acher. I'm sorry, both of them. Both of these men were Porot, Mu'akam Acher. However, the Chochmas Adam is Machmir and understands the words of the Mari Mintz to say that even if he was Porot in some other mitzvah, that means if he shaves with a razor, there are two guys who shave with a razor, nothing to do with Arayas. Not just he shaves with a razor because he was going on a date, he wanted to look good. He just shaves with a razor before he goes to work. Or he does some other, some other violation, he eats shellfish or something, then even that would make him a parrot. So that's a machlokas whether what makom acher means, only in the area of Arayas or even in other areas. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tremendous chumrah in this sugya. In the definition of what a parutz is, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, anybody, even if he's 100% kosher, you could call him up to be your aid kiddushin. He was never nichshal, not in Arayas, nor in any other tchum in halacha. But if that individual isn't confident that he'd be able to be kofa himself, his yetzahara, in a case, in this yichud situation, again, which is him and another man and a woman, if that individual is not sure, confident enough in himself, that he will be miskaber in this situation, he has a din of a parutz, and he will not be able to be misyached with this situation of he and another man with this woman. The third geder of how we define a parutz is brought down in the name of Rebbe Yashiv. There's a sefer called Torah HaYichud, which is an exceptional sefer. It's put out by the Otzer HaPoskim, and what's good about the Sefer Torah HaYichud is even though there are a lot of contemporary machlokuses, they usually paskin those contemporary machlokuses. So you get a bottom line, Sefer Torah HaYichud. So Rebbe Yashiv cited there, and as well as the Shevet HaLevi says, and again you have to be very careful with this point, is that somebody who watches television, I guess the psak came before internet was out, unfiltered or filtered, somebody who watches television would have a din parutz because they lack a sensitivity to arayos. Now, we have to evaluate how applicable this would be in communities where it's the norm, or if that is only applicable in communities where, in more insulated communities, but I think it's pretty important to be aware that that is, it's not a fringe opinion, it's not a fringe opinion, but it's just important to realize how applicable that will be in societies that are a little bit more open, as opposed to more insulated, something to think about. Yeah?
If the whole idea is that the other person won't necessarily do something if this guy's there, then if someone watches TV but the other guy doesn't know he watches TV or whatever, if one guy thinks the other guy's a kosher, regardless of what he did, would that make it mutter for the other guy to be there? Because he wouldn't necessarily...
Meaning if I know that I'm a parrot, but you don't know that I'm a parrot.
Right. So would it be an issue for me? Because I think that...
So if I'm a parrot, so I might do something. And he thinks I'm a kosher, so he wouldn't. That might be a kula. That could be a kula. I have to think about that. Okay. So, right now, the only heter we got was with a woman being with two men. What happens if she's at work, your wife is at work, your sister's at work, the person you're going out with is at work, and she doesn't have any frum Jews in her office? She's only with non-Jews. The Yerushalmi told us that even 100 prutzim would be also. So how is she going to be able to go to work? How are they going to be able to lock the doors? So here, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though there are prutzim involved, if you have anashim harbei and nashim harbei, then that's just not yichud. Yichud is seclusion. If there are lots of people around, that's not seclusion. The question is, how many is harbei? Here, there are three opinions among the achronim. One opinion says that two men and two women... This is the most kuladik opinion. This is the most lenient. Two men and two women is already considered mutter. And therefore, even if the two men are prutzim, but if she has a friend with her, that's going to be machshir her. So if there's two women in an office with two men, they can lock the front door regardless of who those two men are. That's the most lenient opinion. A little bit more stringent is another opinion, and that's two men... We said two men have to be ksherim if they want to be misyachid with one woman. But if you have three women, that will be okay. Two men and three women. That's the second opinion. The third opinion, which is the most chamer, and we should try This machlokas that I'm telling you has not really been resolved, and we should try to be machmir in this machlokas if we can, is that it's only considered anashim harbei, im nashim harbei, is that there are three men and three women. Without going into where these opinions come into, because we don't have the time for this, but I got an interesting shaila. I got emailed an interesting shaila 2 years ago. I gave a series in Hilchas Yichud in Shenk Shul, and somebody listened to it on Wayu Torah, and they told me the following, that they are on a college campus somewhere in North America, and this gentleman is one of five people on campus who keep kosher. So to make it, there's no kosher cafeteria on campus, so to make it easier for the individuals on campus who keep kosher, they had a brilliant idea. All five or six of them are going to rent a house. They rent a house together, and the kitchen will be a kosher kitchen. And this way they could cook for each other, and they'll always have food, and you won't have a problem with kashrus. After listening to my shiur on Wayu Torah, he realized that there might be one issue with his great idea. What's the problem? Two of them are girls, and the other four, two of them are guys, and the other four of them are girls. That was the only issue. So I talked with him, I explained to him that that's probably not an ideal situation to find yourself, and it happened to be that he wasn't able to, there was a lease, and it wasn't able, whatever the situation was, a little bit complicated. So if it would be three and three, it would be mutter min hadin. If it would be two men and three women, then it would also be mutter, we could rely on that middle opinion. The problem was, weekends, you know what happens on Shabbos, you don't stay on campus, you go home. At night, now not everyone's there, so then you're going to have very serious issues. But again, if there would be three people there of each gender, then it would be mutter lechatchila. Again, not advisable, but mikra hadin, you know, if, again, given the situation, mikra hadin, that would have been mutter. Yes. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Excellent question.
That was only being kafrutzim?
If they're ksherim, then all you need is two men and one woman. But I think anyone...
A female nurse with two non-Jewish doctors.
So we'll... So if the doors are unlocked and there are people coming in, the front door is open and unlocked, then it would be mutter, because that's a different heter, Pesach Pesuach, which we'll talk about soon.
With the former Moshe, in terms of who's called the parents, so does he have to be confident that he can overcome the situation where it's him and one other guy?
Correct. In this situation. Okay. Yes. Okay. For the Sfardim among us, the Sfardim are much more machmir. The Sfardim say that everybody has a din of a paritz. That means all of us here in this room, all of us smicha students, we are all have a din of prutzim, and therefore there will not be any heter of two men with one woman at all for Sfardim. And you always need nashim harbei im anashim harbei, which means, again, aiming for three and three, if not at least two men and three women. But that's because there's a gemara that says that there's a mishnah. Wait a second, what does Sfardim do with a mishnah? The mishnah say, shnei anashim can be misyachid with one woman. There's a Mishnah. How can they argue on the Mishnah? Because there's a Gemara that talks about two Amoraim are walking down the road and they see a woman in front of us. One of the Amoraim says to the other, let's run away. Let's get away. There's a woman in front of us. And the other one responds, what do you mean? But didn't the Mishnah say two men and one woman? That's mutter, right? To which the other, his fellow Amora, responds, no, that's only for ksherim ke Rabbi Chanina ben Papi v'chaverov who are moser nefesh for arayos. That's the kind of person that's allowed, that's the kind of ksherim who are allowed to be with one woman. But people like us, who are the people involved? Rav Rav Yehuda. But people like us, Rav Rav Yehuda, we're prutzim. So says the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Sfardim. Us people here in Smicha are no better than Rav and Rav Yehuda. If Rav and Rav Yehuda are Prutzim, then certainly we are Prutzim. That's how they deal with the Mishnah. Now, the way the Ashkenazim assume is that, no, that was just sort of a Midas Chassidus, so that was a, they were just trying to be extra careful with themselves, but Me'ikar Hadin, a part is as we described. we mentioned the second. So when we said that this Mishnah, which says again for Ashkenaz that you could have two men and one woman, is mutter. We said there are two limitations. First of all, they have to be ksherim. Second of all, it only is ba'ir, not baderech. So on that halacha of baderech, there's a raivid. The raivid says that it's not only baderech that you need an extra man, a third man, also by laila. Just like baderech, we're concerned. Somebody's going to go off the road to take a bathroom stop. You'll be left with one and one. So too, if you're by laila, we're worried somebody's going to fall asleep and you'll be left with one and one, one sleeping. That leaves one man, one woman. That would be aser. So therefore, any time that you have laila, you lose the kula of two men and a woman. What's Laila? Laila does not mean Shkia. Laila does not mean Seis. Laila does not mean Ashtich L'Regim and Hashuk. Laila does not mean Chatzos. Laila means whatever time you people who are having Yichud go to sleep. So therefore, if you are YU college students and you go to sleep at 2:30, and there's a young lady who's in your dormitory room at, not your dormitory room, your IHP apartment, at 2 a.m., since you guys don't go to sleep until 2:30, it is not Laila. Because what's this chash of the rive? That somebody's going to fall asleep. Well, you fall asleep when it's bedtime. Before bedtime, before 2:30, we don't go to sleep. So therefore, it's 1:45 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't go to sleep till 2:30. That's not Laila right now. And therefore, you can have this heter of two men, one woman, and the front door locked at 1:45 a.m. in the middle of the night. Another very important kula that the Sefer Torah Sayichid cites from Rabbi Yashiv is, and the Dvar Halacha says it, is, let's say you go to sleep at 2:30, but now it's 4 a.m. But why was everybody at your house? Because he came over from his place to study for the midterm tomorrow at your place. So he plans on going home. So do you have to be, is it Laila yet? Laila means there's a chance somebody's going to go to sleep. He's not going to fall asleep. He has to go to his, he doesn't have his pajamas here. He doesn't have his tefillin. He's going to go home first and go to sleep in his bed. He doesn't have his toothbrush here. So since he plans on going home, it's not considered, well, there's no chash that he's going to fall asleep. So therefore, this is an incredible kulas. That means if a person is having something in their house very late at night, or somebody plans on going home, that's not considered Laila yet, and they will not need that third person. So Allah l'maisa, if let's say there was a man was dating a young lady was dating a young man, and in his apartment with two male roommates and this young lady. Let me rephrase that. If a person is in his apartment, which is his own apartment, and he has a friend who doesn't live in his apartment, so there are two men, and there's a woman there, that will be mutter even at 3 in the morning because it's not Laila yet. You don't need that third person. Why don't you need that third person? Because that second person is not going to, we're not worried he's going to fall asleep since he still has to go home. Yeah. Because the situation now is that he's here, so you don't have to be worried he's going to go home. Because you're worried that, because while he's here, because this situation is one. I hear what you're asking us to go. I don't just don't have time for that. That's what his question was. Yeah. Right. So it's the same question. The answer is because derech is a matzav itself. In the lamdas, the derech is going on the derech. The derech is a matzav in itself. It's like a room. The room is baderech. And this is a room where the chashash itself, that room has a chashash built into
very
it.
Very late at night, and the guy's just running around. I don't know, same chashash.
Okay. So let's now shift. Until now we were talking about one woman with two men. Let's shift the case, and which is a very applicable. I know that when I was going out, this was a halacha l'maisa. Let's say I was going out, I was in Lakewood Yeshiva when I was going out. So that means I had to drive 2 hours before the date and 2 hours after the date. So let's say I had a date at 7:30 at night. I went out till 11. Till we finished talking, it was 12. Then I have to go home, drive back to Lakewood. It's going to be 2 a.m. What do I need to do before I go for that two-hour drive? I need to drink a coffee. Where am I going to get a coffee? Everything's closed. It's 12 o'clock. So can I go into the girl who I just dropped off at her apartment? Can I go into her apartment and take a drink of coffee? That's going to be the question that we're going to talk about. Meaning, could one man, what are the gedarim to be with women? So let's look back at that same Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah says, Lo yisyached adam in shtei nashim. The line right before. Aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. There's a double standard. One woman is allowed to be with two men, but one man is not allowed to be with two women. So if my date has one roommate, I am not allowed to go into her apartment. Okay? What's the obvious diuk? If my date has two roommates and there are three women there, then I am allowed to go into her apartment. So therefore, when you pick who you're going to date and you're driving in from Lakewood, make sure that she has only go out with girls who have two roommates. That was the lesson that we learned. Okay, so let's try to understand what this heter is. Why is it also to be misyacha with two women? What's the chshash? Says Rashi, the chshash is that, well, let's, the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for the double standard? Tan de Beil Yo, ho v'noshen daitan kalos. Meaning, says Rashi, ushtehen nochos lehispatos. It's important to keep that in mind, that they'll be easily seduced. It's important to keep that in mind, because you see that Chazal are not using this line of noshen daitan kalos in any intellectual regard. It has nothing to do with anything to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with anything in terms of understanding, perspective. It has to do with one thing and one thing only, and that's the ease in which a woman might be seduced as opposed to a man who is being seduced. Women are seduced more easily than men are seduced. That's the extent to which the Gemara applies this line of Ho v'noshen daitan kalos. So therefore, Rashi continues and says, since both of them will be nispata, will be seduced, one woman won't be ashamed of the other, because just like she'll be seduced, she assumes her friend will also be seduced. So, what that means, Rashi is saying, why is it usur for one man to be with two women? Because the man might seduce both of them and be boel both of the women. The Ritva has a totally different understanding. The Ritva says, you know why one man can't be with one woman? We're only choshish he'll be with one of them. But women will cover over for their friend. If there's one other woman there, she might cover over for her friend. We have a machlokas, Rashi and Ritva, where the reason why it's mutter for one man, why it's aser for one man to be with two women is because he'll be boel both of them, or he'll be boel one of them, and the other one will just cover up. Nafkamina, what if you have a third roommate? What if you have three women there? It's physically impossible. All the Rishonim assume, and I assume the doctors also, and it's physically impossible to be boel one after the other, three different women. It's physically impossible. So if the whole chshash is, according to Rashi, that we're worried you'll be boel both women, that might be possible, but it's impossible that you'll be boel a third woman, and therefore, there's no concern that if you're not going to be boel three women, so there's going to be somewhere here who's not getting boeled, and that will save you from the yichud. If, however, the concern is, according to the Ritva, will you have a heter of the third woman? Well, what's that third woman going to change anything? Just like one will be mechapa on the one that you were boel, then two will be mechapa on the one that you were boel. And therefore, this heter of Rashi is Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi is that two women is aser, but three women is mutter. Halacha l'maisa, the Rama does paskin like this kula. And therefore, the Rama paskins that one man can be misyached with three women. So halacha l'maisa, if a person has a business and he has three female employees, the front door can be locked. Similarly, if you're on a date and there's three roommates in that apartment, you could be in that apartment with the front door locked. The Dvar Halacha adds an important kula, and he says, even if some, all or all of those three women are prutzos or goyos, this heter will still apply. Again, because according to that, we're going like Rashi, that the whole issur is that you're going to be boel, you can be boel one, you can be boel two, but three, you can't be boel. Since you can't be boel three, you're going to be scared, because one of them is not going to get boel, then she might talk, and therefore, you're not going to do anything wrong, and therefore, even if all three are goyos or prutzos, I don't care what they can do, physically, you can't get to all of them. And therefore, it will be mutter, again, even if it's an office where there are three non-Jewish women or three women who are prutzos and one male doctor or one male lawyer and his three assistants, whatever the situation might be, that will be mutter l'chatchila. Yes?
Is Lila a factor?
No, Lila is not a factor here.
Then why is only the second out of three opinions from four, you need two men and three women, if one man and three women is okay? You said before that you that there are three opinions, two men, two women, and two men, three women, then three men, three
for the
women.
Definition of harbe.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think it's only because... I think it might be because if one man is mutter with three women, because if that one man is a regular Jew, so he's a paritz, according to the Sfaradim, then it's not going to be enough. And then you'll need to have another man to get anashim for nashim harbe. According to Ashkenazim,
we should try for the most common opinion, which is three men and three women.
That's if it's, again, Ashkenazim are allowed to have two men with one woman. That's mutaf Ashkenazim. So when do we come to needing... If they're prutzim, right, if they're not Jewish, for example.
So one part and three women, no good.
I think that would... You're saying, why should that be a problem if physically he can't do something? I hear your question, I have to think about it. I'm sure. Yeah. If that is the case, then that's unusual. But that's the same person. I hear what you're saying, though.
According to the Rishna, is there an upper cap of women which would make it okay?
Yeah, the poskim discuss if the ritva is if there are those who are machmir for three women, would they be maker by four women? That's a discussion of the poskim. Okay, let's just take some halachas that come out of this. If you have a seminary and or a girls' school, Beis Yaakov or a girls' school, and they go on a trip, and there's a shomer and there's a chavesh and there's a bus driver, or there's just one, right? You're on the hike, just the chavesh. So here you have one man with women. Is that mutter? So here we're saying that it will be mutter if you have, we said before, you cannot babysit your nieces if they're royal libya. But if you have three nieces, that will once again make it mutter. If you're a social worker and you want to do group therapy with three women, again it will be mutter. If you're a rabbi and you teach girls and for whatever reason there's no window on the door and the door is locked, that will be mutter. However, here we get into an important issue, a limitation to this heter of nashim harbe, of being with three women. That's only mutter for a regular person, but not for somebody who is asakav im hanashim. Somebody who works with women is usher to be even with many of them. Why? Because he knows how they work and knows how to work them, and the way the poskim say is they need him. So for example, if there's a guy who sells jewelry, he sells women's jewelry. He sells perfumes. He's an OBGYN. He's a Rebbe who teaches in a girls' school only. So since they need him, they're going to, even if he does something wrong, they might cover over him because they need whatever his services. They need his jewelry. They need his medical proficiency. And therefore, it would be usher for somebody who's asakav im hanashim. Rebbe Yashiv gives an important kula. That means only somebody whose job is exclusively with women. So if you sell jewelry, both to women, 80% to women and 20% to men, your job is not exclusively asakav im hanashim, or if you're a Rebbe in the girls' school in the afternoon, but you teach in yeshiva, you're shol nation in yeshiva in the morning, a boys' yeshiva in the morning, that will be okay, says Rebbe Yashiv. It's only somebody who is exclusively working with women. Fine. If it's nighttime, just like we gave this heter that one man with three women is mutter, but if it's night, we're worried one of the three women will fall asleep, you'll need a fourth woman. Okay, let's talk about, just because of time, I don't want to take so many questions. Let's talk about, we finished talking about how many people constitute yichud. We talked about one man with, we talked first about two men with one woman, then we talked about one woman with numerous men. Sorry, the opposite. We just finished speaking about one, it's always complicated. We just finished speaking right now about one man with numerous women. Now we're going to talk about a different issue. Let's say there is an iser of yichud. It's you and a woman. How do you deal with it if I'm home and the cleaning lady is home? while I'm home. So here we have our open door policy. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishis HaRabim. And of course the important question is, what does Pasuach mean? What does L'Rishis HaRabim mean? That's what we'll talk about for the next few minutes. So before we get into Pesach Pasuach, we have to think for a moment, what is this heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishis HaRabim? Is it that when your front door is open, that's not Yichud? Yichud is I'm in seclusion. I'm not in seclusion. The world is, we're open. I'm in a house and the street, it's all one because the door is open. So it's not Yichud. Or we say, no, it's Yichud, but it's Yichud with an added component of Mirsas. I'm scared that somebody's going to walk in. So that point itself, it seems to be a machlokas. The Rashba, though, and I think this is what we assume, is that if it's Pesach Pesach, it is not Yichud whatsoever. Now, there are nafkaminas, we're not going to get into it. What is Pasuach? So here there's a very important, this is probably the most important point that we're going to say today. There's a very gigantic machlokas, the definition of what constitutes Pasuach, an open door, to be Matir Yichud. And it's going to be totally on what we just said. What's the heter of having that front door open? If the front door open is that somebody's going to come in, that means that as long as they could come in, it's unlocked, it's not Yichud. If, however, we say, as other poskim say, that the point is that they have to be able to see it, people walk by, will see what's happening inside, so having the front door closed but unlocked doesn't help you because people walking by don't see anything inside, the door is closed. And therefore, the Stipler Gaon assumes that you have to be able to see what's happening inside, and if it's not ajar, it's going to be aser. He's the one who added the fact that it has to be able to see inside as you're walking by, but this is already the earlier post. This is a gigantic machlokas between Rabbi Kveh Eger and the Beis Meir. They hold, they discuss, they go back and forth figuring out what is the halacha, if the door has to be actually ajar or just unlocked. They assume in the maskana that you actually need the door to be ajar. And they have a proof from Atosis, which I'm not going to go into. However, all honor to the Rebbe Kveger and the Beis Meir, but we have Rishonim. We have the Rashba, and we have the Rabbeinu Yonah, who say Mefurish, that as long as the door is unlocked, that is not going to be Yichud, because, say, the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah, somebody might come inside. And therefore, I think, bottom line, if you push me against the wall, this will probably be the Ikar Hadin, it is Mutter, as long as the door is unlocked. Keep in mind, there's going to be a Chumrah that comes out of this Kula. We're saying that the door has to be unlocked. Why? Because somebody could come in. So that's great, that's a big Kula. I don't have to open my door, I just have to leave the door unlocked. But it has a Chumrah with it. Because when are we worried that somebody might come in? I'm only worried that somebody will come in if it's daytime when people will come in. But at some point when people aren't coming in anymore, for example, it's 3 in the morning, no one's in the hallways, after Techa Regem Nashuk, so people aren't coming in anymore. Again, it's not Techa Regem Nashuk. Apparently in Bnei Brak in 1950, the Chazon Ish thought that 10 p.m. was the time that people aren't walking around enough to come into your house. If you live in Washington Heights during finals, I assume that if you're in an apartment in Washington Heights during finals, I assume it would be closer to, 2 a.m. But after that, there's no heter of Pesach Pasuch. You could have the door unlocked, it's not going to be mutter. If, however, the door is open, that would be mutter, presumably all night. Because you're scared, even if it's 4 in the morning and there aren't passerbys, you're always scared that one person is going to be driving by or is going to be passing by that it scares you, and it would be mutter.
If you have a screen door or something that is see-through, it would be locked.
That would just have a halach of a window. Window we'll talk about in a minute. Okay, so let's talk about that right now. That's a very good point. Let's talk about that right now. The Rashba says explicitly, the Rashba learns his halacha that you let out the door unlocked from the following case. Case where there is yichud of somebody else with something else. Yichud of guy with a barrel of wine. Different kind of yichud. There, in terms of the halacha of Yai Nesach, in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin, Rechoshish, that a guy who is in Yichud with a barrel of wine might have been menasech the wine if the door is locked. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Rashba, When do I assume that that was yichud? Because the door was locked. But, says the Rashi, if the door was unlocked, it would be mutter because he's worried that that Jew might come in to check on his wine or to come in. There, it happens to be, I'm not going into it right now, but there it happens to be that we're not real, there was no real concern that somebody's actually going to come in. It's just the possibility that somebody could come in. That's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. The Rashba learns from there that even if it's closed, it's still mutter as long as it's unlocked. You see from the fact that he learns from that case where no one was expected to come in. Even if you don't expect anyone to come in, you don't anticipate anyone's going to come in, it's going to be mutter even when you're not, even with a closed door, even though you don't expect anyone coming in. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, you're a psychologist, you're a social worker, you're a rabbi, and you have a therapy session with a client. The rule in all clinics is that when you see a door closed in a psychologist, a social work clinic, you don't walk in. You're vetting on whatever confidentiality is happening with the clinician and his patient or her patient. So here, the halacha will be that it will be mutter if the door is unlocked, even though no one's going to enter. So the Rashba says, even though you're not, even though there's no chash somebody's going to come in, but says the Chazanish has this lashon, there's an emas rabim b'teva. There's just a natural fear of people that they could come in, even if they don't regularly come in, and therefore it will be mutter. The Chazanish was making in such a case, even though no one's going to, you don't expect anyone to come in, the door is unlocked, it's mutter. What about you're on the second floor? This applies very nice if you're on the first floor, so suddenly you could come in. If they do come in, they'll see you. But what about being on the second or the third floor inside your house in an interior room? Here also, the Radvaz is Mekel and says, even if there are numerous closed doors, one closed door after another closed door to the next floor where there's a closed door, another closed door, since all the doors are unlocked, it will also be mutter. And that's a very important kula. Now, I will tell you before we finish this point, I told you there's a machlokas whether or not the door has to be unlocked or locked, and the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rashba seem to say that it's, as long as it's unlocked, even if the door is closed, that's okay. Between you and me, it's a kula. If you can be machmir to have the door a little bit ajar, that is better. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. We talked a little while ago about Yichud D'oraisa, Yichud D'rabbanan. If you have Yichud D'oraisa, I think it would be better for you to leave the door a bit ajar. If you're only dealing with Yichud D'rabbanan, there, I think it could be meikel like the Ikar Hadin, which is that the door could be unlocked. Again, a therapy session is a little bit of a Shas Hadchak. I think it could be meikel Ikar Hadin that the door just has to be unlocked. So, for example, if I have a non-Jewish babysitter, non-Jewish cleaning woman, and I'm alone with her, I think that it's okay to be meikel to leave the door closed and unlocked, because Yichud with a non-Jewish woman, as we learned an hour ago, is only Aser Midrabanan. If you want to be machmir there also, it's easy to leave the door unlocked, fine. But if it's difficult to leave the door, if you want to leave the door ajar, that's great. But if you don't want to, I think that's fine. Yichud D'oraisa, I would be a little bit more nota to try to leave the door ajar, because it is a significant opinion to, yes, have the door ajar.
Does everyone have to know that the door is unlocked? Or
I didn't see anyone require that.
Just one of the parties?
People inside. It's Aser, the woman, the non-Jewish woman doesn't have to know anything. She doesn't have an Isser Yichud. I'm the one with the Isser Yichud, so I know that somebody could walk in. That's all you need to know.
In typical suburban America, like Saturday, it's not socially accepted that if you walk into a house without knocking, nobody's
going
to come to my house, and nobody's going to just try to.
That's what we learned from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Still matter. It's Mirkar Hadin. It's Mutter. In such a case where the confidentiality is necessary, you could be Somecha Mirkar Hadin, and it should be Mutter. Yeah. Okay. Now we talked about what Pesach Pasuch is. Now we have to know what Rishus Harabim means, because Pesach Pasuch, the Rishus Harabim. So there's a machlokas in the Achronim whether Rishus Harabim means, hey, like the words say, Rishus Harabim. Or is it sufficient that it's open to what, for all of history, we've talked about a chatzer, They're very different. The Rosh Chatzir has a few people. Rosh Hashanah has lots of people passing by. Especially, remember, we're only walking about the chance that somebody, you know, not, comes in. So if there's a lot of people, there's a greater chance. If there's just a few people in the yard, not such a great chance. Here, the Dvar Halacha, again, is Mekel, to assume that even if it's only a Chatzir, only open to a Chatzir, how few people constitute a Chatzir? Even if the door is open or unlocked to an area where there are only three people, that itself would make it mutter. Therefore, every case of an apartment building, any given apartment, even if there's a front door that's locked, and there's no doorman, it's locked, and no one's coming in, but on your floor, there are more than three people in that who live in that hallway or who are passing by that hallway, your door is open to a chatzer, it's machlokas, we are mekel, and we permit the Pesach, that will be considered Pesach Pasuach, Rishus HaRabim, even though the building is locked off from the real Rishus HaRabim outside. There are two limitations to this Heter Pesach Pasuach. I mean, it sounds like it's great. You could solve every problem. Well, of course, the door has to be open, or at least unlocked. But A, as we mentioned, it's only mutter when there are passersbys. So I told you in 1950, the Chazanish said that it's till 10 p.m. What about nowadays? The Torah Sayichu, that sefer that I told you put up by the Otzar Poskin that gives you clear-cut maskanas in terms of the Machlokas Achron, he says that if there's again, I don't know where he got his shir, and I'm sure if you ask different Rabbanim, they'll not necessarily give you this shir, but he gives a shir, if there's a passerby every 10 minutes, that's considered that it's early enough that there's still people out at night. But if there are you don't have a passerby every 10 minutes, that's already too late, that we will no longer give you this heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Depends where you live in Brooklyn. Depends where you live in Brooklyn. So when I was in Lakewood, and actually going out with my wife, and I had this issue of my wife only had one roommate, so I didn't have the heter of three women. And let's say I finished going out. My wife lives on Main Street. Those of you know Main Street. Main Street is definitely a Rishus HaRabim in terms of having people there all night long, but my wife lived on the second floor. It was like a two-story, like, townhouse apartment sort of thing. It was like a three-family house, one family on the bottom, my wife lives on the second floor, and another family on the third floor. So I want to know, could I go into the person who I was dating's apartment to, let's say, have a drink before I go drive back to Lakewood? So there, I spoke to Rabbi Forsheimer, the Lakewood Posek, and he said that even though, as long as, again, keep the door open as long as people are, you know, it depends on the people on the third floor. If the people on the third floor still go to sleep early, then you're stuck earlier. If the people upstairs from you on the third floor, and my wife lives on the second floor at that time, if the people on the third floor go to sleep late, so you have a heter, you could leave the door open. Pesach Pasuach will be a heter as long as the people upstairs are still awake and could come in and out. Very important application is windows. Somebody mentioned the concept of a screen door, windows. Now, windows are the greatest kula in the world because if a person is ever on a date and they're talking to the young lady in her house, this doesn't work in apartment buildings as well, could, but let's say you're in her house and you want to discuss something and it's late and there aren't so many, forget about who's home, you want to make sure there's no yichud, so if you sit in the dining room with the front drapes open, and there's a big bay window that the whole street could see you, and the light's on inside, of course, so you're on display for everybody who passes by, that will be mutter. That is clearly mutter. That's another behudas kula, that windows are clearly have a din of pasuach. Now, what about the fact that you could just walk to the other room out of the line of vision of the window? So here we're not going to say that it's like Pesach Pasuach, that the door open, door open, door open. Here we say, if the doors are locked and you're just in the line of view from the outside through a window, it's only going to be mutter when you have this line of vision from the window. I had a terrifying shaila of a student of mine who was visiting his great aunt. His family wasn't religious, so he went to his great aunt for Shabbos. I don't know if she was religious or not religious, but whatever it was. And he realized Friday afternoon, he was in a community where there are not so many other people, and it's also... And it was in a place where he realized Friday afternoon that it's just he and his great aunt. And he's going to be there overnight. So how is he, and his great aunt wasn't exactly going to leave the front door, forget about open, but she's not even going to leave it unlocked tonight. So So what could he do? So there are not so many solutions. So we tried to figure out, putting everything together, during the day, you have the front door unlocked. Okay, that she could deal with. I don't remember if he was able to tell her or wasn't able to tell her. Or at least during the day, he could stay in the dining room where it was on the first floor, where it's visible. What about going to sleep in his bedroom? So there, apparently, it was opposite another building. So I told him, make sure you have the windows open the whole time. But again, that will only help as long as there are people up. I don't remember. What? What?
He can lock his own door.
That night might not help. That's a very complicated sugya of anashim mibifnim, anashim b'chutz, anashim b'chutz, anashim b'fnim. That's not so pashut. Anyway, this was a shaila, a complicated one. So again, you have to stay out of the line of vision. Another very important kula. Is it okay if we go for 3 more minutes and then we'll dive in here? I'm just going to go straight and then I'll take it. A very important kula is that if you can't have the door open, the door unlocked because it's nighttime, you can have somebody with a key. You can give somebody with a key, or perhaps two people a key, so that they could come in whenever they want unannounced. I remember this happened once. When was it? It happened once in the Heights that there was somebody who had to be home and the door had to be locked, but they're worried about there's a yichud issue, so he gave his next door neighbor the key and said, come in whenever you want. Again, you have to just keep in mind the numbers of people that have to have the key. That is, of course, important to know. Similarly, of course, if you're home, if you're on a date with, and you pick up your date in her house, and she has a relative, or sister, brother, mother, father, that could come home any minute. So you could be anywhere in the house with the front door locked. That's mutter. Why? Because since there are people who are coming home at some point and they have the key, so it's like the front door is unlocked. That would be mutter. Let's talk about doctors, going to doctors. Here there's an important discussion among the poskim. You always have, if there's a woman who's going to a male doctor, so then you have a heter of baila be'ir, which we probably won't have time to discuss. If, however, the baila is not, her husband is not in the same city, her husband's not going to be around, then we have to talk about how could a woman go to a doctor if the examination room is going to be locked, there is no heter, period. Obviously, if the nurses don't have the key or whatever else. If the examination room is locked, there's no heter for a woman to be alone in a room locked with a doctor. However, except perhaps, we'll see. Rav Moshe might have a kula, but generally, Rav Yashiv writes, this is brought down in Sefer Torah Seichud, if there are two nurses around, and her, or she has a friend waiting in the waiting room and there's a nurse, so it's three people altogether. So if, again, there's no locked door, then we don't have to be worried about yichud. Because there are three women in this office, even if the front door of the office is locked, so three women and this male doctor, that's going to be permitted. Rav Moshe has an interesting thought. Rav Moshe says, during the daytime, there's always a possibility, again, even if the doctor is a parutz, or even if the doctor is not Jewish, that a doctor will be scared to stay in the office too long because he knows if he doesn't come out, if he's in an office with a female patient and he's not coming out when he should be, then it's going to look fishy. So he has a certain, fear to do anything. But he says, when, this is Rav Moshe's psak, if a woman has the last, that's only when there are people who are waiting him to come out for the next patient. If a woman has the last appointment in the day, says Rav Moshe, and there are no longer people in the office, then there is not going to be a heter of yichud because the doctor is nervous about, what are people going to say, because there are no other people there. And therefore, if, again, a woman is going to a male doctor, and it's the last, she's the last, she wants the, she gets home from work late, she wants the last appointment in the day, she has to make sure that there are going to be, that the door, of course, is unlocked, and there are going to be a total of three women around, two nurses, a nurse and a secretary, and her. But if the nurses went home and the secretary went home and she's the last one in the office, it's going to be usher for her to be at the doctor in that case, in which case she'll have to take her husband with her. So what we didn't talk about is baila be'ir, which is a very important discussion because what happens when your husband, there's a heter that if the husband is in town, so we assume like the Chazon Ish, even if it is a large town, since your husband is in the same town, a woman will not do anything weird or inappropriate if her husband is in town. If she knows definitively that he's not going to be home in the next little while, and we'll finish with this, there's a very important Pesach of Rav Moshe because it applies to Washington Heights. Let's say a woman has a husband who works downtown in Midtown, and he calls her, honey, I'll be home, I'm leaving now, I'll be home from work in 45 minutes. So he just messed up his wife, because now his wife knows for sure that he won't be home within the next 45 minutes. So even though there usually is a heter of Baila Be'ir, that her husband is in town and it's going to be okay because her husband could have come home at any point, Rav Moshe says once she knows that he's at work and he's not going to be coming back, then she will no longer have that heter because she knows that he's 45 minutes away, even though he was in the same town. So I'm sorry we don't have time to talk more. We'll stop here.